Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
This is Sunpod, my name is Michael, and I welcome you to episode 284 of our podcast. I recorded my first interview with Luther Kruger at the Kunstelfood Conference in 2020 in Faro in Portugal. He told us his story about his experiences with solar cooking and about his huge collection of all types of solar cookers. This year, in July, we held our Kunstelfood Conference in A Coruña in Spain, and I met Luther again. In between, he had traveled thousands of miles across the United States and recorded lots of wonderful videos with different members of the American solar cooking community, which he has published on YouTube. So it was clear for me to ask him for another interview, and now you can listen to the next chapter of Luther's story.
I'm Luther Kruger, and I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the United States, and I collect solar cookers, and lately I've been collecting solar cooks' stories from around the world, and ultimately my dream is to have a destination museum for my collection. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I'm just happy to share everyone's success stories and how they're promoting solar cooking, inventing new effective solar cookers. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do with solar cooking, I want to get them on camera so the rest of the world mm-hmm. can hear their stories. That's basically what I'm up to right now.
Fine, thank you. You already told the story how you came to collect solar cooker 3 years ago
yes.
when we met in Faro. And you just in your first words you mentioned it already that it had consequences that we recorded this interview. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit about this.
Sure. Well, I had reached the point in 2019 actually, where I realized I had a previous calling for my career with the Minneapolis Police Department, but over the 10 or 15 years of collecting solar cookers, I interacted with the people who invented them, created them, marketed, promoted solar cooking in general.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I really want to get into this a little further, and I was looking 5 or 6 years to retire. And so I said, well, here's this conference that's coming up, and a lot of the people that I have wanted to talk to and learn more from were going to be there. And I was going to absorb all the information and soak it in. And of course, I get to the plaza, and there's all these cookers that I had not seen before,
mm-hmm.
people that I have to talk to, and eventually I was going to try to get the cookers for my collection. And it was really, that was just the limit. But then when you asked, if I would talk about the museum, it kind of put me on the spot because I'm collecting these things, and when you collect things, most people collect things for their own display at home, a private thing, you know. But I did not want that. I wanted to share it. And so I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to say, you know, up to that time, I think I might have 60 or 70. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's up to 80 now. And all of them work. So it put me on the spot. And I really had to kind of start to make choices. You know, how deep am I going to continue with just the collecting and just having these private conversations by email and so forth? With the cooker makers or sellers or promoters. And having seen all the wonderful work at Faro, I came home and thought, well, what you're doing is what I want to do too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to try it with video because so much of what I saw I wanted to share. The visuals of the Ivan Yohonisky cooker and then seeing his humble video of cooking little loaves of bread, you know, all in the same speed as your regular gas range. I said, well, that's what I got to start doing. And so I recall emailing you and asking what you thought about it.
Yeah.
And you said it already. That,
yeah.
it's, audio is a lot easier.
Yeah.
I have learned how hard video is, but it's so fulfilling. And the added bonus is when you're editing, I'll have 4 or 5 cameras out, and I'm always worried about, is that one going to blow over in the wind like today, or do I have them positioned right? And so I'm listening, and I'm encouraging the person I'm talking to tell their whole story. And I almost cut nothing
mm-hmm.
Because I think if what they feel they say is important, I want to share that.
Yeah.
So the double bonus is when I get home and I have 15, 20, or the third road trip, I had 39 interviews It's massive. I had to finally just say, well, I've got to be a little more organized. And I started to edit. And when I started to edit, I realized, oh, I wasn't listening as closely as I should have to one person or another. Just give one example. Ed Pijak talked about the snap disk water pasteurization indicator. I'd never heard of it before. I'm thinking, wait a second. I heard it a year ago when I interviewed him. And so I was able to email him right away and say, well, now that I'm editing your video, could I get a shot of how that works, or do you have one? And he foraged in his basement, and he found six of them left from 30 years before when it was developed, and sent me three of them to add to my collection. So it's everything feeds off everything else. And I learned so much more just by the editing, because it finally starts to sink in, and I have to give the respect to be able to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And cut it so there's, you know, the dead air or the interruptions and stuff, those are out of the way, but leave in everything that they felt was important. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing. So I'm thanking you for, you know, kind of getting me off my duff to yes. do this sort of thing.
After we had emailed a little bit, you prepared your first travel across America. I don't remember, I think it was to the West in the beginning.
Yes.
How did you prepare it, and how did it evolve?
Sure. Well, I had started a list of my cookers and who made them.
Yeah.
And I expanded that spreadsheet to include people that I wanted to get more cookers from or learn more from. And I just started to look on the Solar Cooking Wiki, solarcooking.org, to see who could I visit. And I didn't have any idea when, but then in May of 2020, my police department had one rogue cop, a murder citizen, and it got me to thinking about expediting my retirement plans. I had done a lot of community work, but also jumping forward to my next calling, which is trying to do more of this, the storytelling and gathering of solar cooking. And so when that happened, I said, okay, I'm going to send an invitation to as many people as I can. I can't do the whole country. I had a pretty good package for vacation time. So I spent a little over 3 weeks out west. Mm-hmm. Because that's where they're most concentrated, in, you know, the sunny states, California, yeah. Arizona, New yeah. Mexico.
Yeah.
And also over the summer, I had the opportunity to acquire the Sun Oven Villager, which is, I'm starting to call it the monument cooker.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an icon of solar cooking. And so I was able to set a date for, the last date was to pick that up and hook it up to my trailer, because I knew it was going to, I'm trying to leave a low carbon footprint with these road trips, but this thing's pretty heavy.
Just for those who don't know it, how many meals can you cook at a time with this?
Sure. Well, the story is that you can fit up to 40 loaves of bread at a time in it. And okay. I have done two or three cookie sheets and look in it and see, yeah, you could fit, you know, loaves of bread all around it. It's massive. It's about 600 pounds when they sell it. I don't know if it's still in production. It comes with its own trailer, because it's a
festival cooker. Huh?
Yes, yes, it really it is. As soon as I got that, I thought, well, that's in a category all its own of community cooker.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And what I was just talking with Deepak about, yeah. Where you can, if 10 or more people at a time, you need something larger and probably not quite as not collapsible.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so as soon as I had that date set, well, then I just worked backwards in time. To starting out with in Arizona and New Mexico, and I ended up kind of zigging through California, then Utah, and up through Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it was the other way around. I started in Seattle with Tom Spahn.
But I
ended up circling back to Oregon to pick up the cooker. Mm-hmm. So, but and the road trips, it's kind of an American thing, because the distances are between major areas
are huge. Yeah.
But I was able to economize and fit in about, I think, 16 or 17 interviews that first trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did the people you asked for an interview react?
Almost everyone were absolutely welcoming. They wanted to tell their stories. They were happy to hear that solar cooking, there was still some interest in it.
Yeah.
There were some of them that expressed concerns. You know, they hadn't heard from someone else they knew that did solar cooking. I said, well, fancy that. I just talked to them, and they're doing an interview, too. And I was able to connect them again. So yeah, that worked out well.
And I think many of them are networkers somehow and know somebody else you don't know. So did you get new addresses from them?
Yes, yes. My favorite example is, Misty Blue in the Albuquerque area.
Mm-hmm.
She had done a lot of solar cooking with Rose Kern, who had written a book on solar cooking. And couldn't find Misty. Somehow I found her eventually. And she said, well, you really want to talk to Rose? And I said, well, I had set up with her. It'd be nice to do the two of you together. And she said, well, I'm not really doing it much anymore. But I had, this is actually my third season by this time. But she looked at both the first two seasons, binge watched them. And she emailed me and said, okay, I got to get back to this. And she wasn't quite ready to be on camera. And sadly, last year, she's been very ill. So, but Rose was still doing it, had been doing the New Mexico Solar Energy Association. She was on their board.
Mm-hmm.
ACES, she was doing their solar fiesta when they had it in Albuquerque and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, and people always dropping another name. And by now, I mean, the first two or three road trips, some of them were new. By now, I've scoured the web and, you know, pretty much exhausted I haven't exhausted the wiki, but it feels like it. And so usually they'll name someone and say, yeah, I've got them scheduled, or they're on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Or one I know, the Anderson, Mike Anderson, created a parabolic it looks like the satellite or radar dishes on aircraft carriers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a squarish and a parabola with a radar receiver. Well, this guy was in the manufacturing business making those things.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have seen a YouTube video where someone saw a satellite TV and did that. He said, well, wait, I made them. And so he made a solar cooker with that, with a rotating Lazy Susan with a motor, and really a wonderful cooker. And that's a case where I couldn't get a hold of him. And after I bought it myself years before, but I couldn't get a hold of him. Turns out he moved to Missouri. So I'm hoping to catch up with him this time around. So sometimes it's just filling in the gaps of history with these folks.
Yeah. When you started, I think most of your interview partners did not know you before, or some of them. And I think when you were in FAO, you were one of 100 people or so there. Today, when I see you, say, this is Luther. And
yes.
I think everybody else, or many of them... So you have become a little bit more famous, let's say, within the community. Do you see that people react differently when you ask them or when you make a first contact compared to 3 years ago?
You know, I'd say by and large, most people I contact cold that I haven't spoken to before are still very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are cautious because if they've never heard from me before, and they've been out of the loop, they haven't been in the network of solar cookers.
Yeah.
But when they look at the videos that I posted, they'll get back to me and they'll say something like, well, you know, I'm really not doing it anymore, but here's someone else you might want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's my website, and that's, you know, go ahead and use that for whatever you want to do. And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I just nudge them a little more, and we do end up doing a Zoom call perhaps.
Yeah.
But almost none of them saying, no, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe say, I've lost interest because they've moved on to other things, and that happens.
Yeah.
But that's pretty rare. Most of them are still very interested and are happy to share their experience.
Yeah. So when you began with the idea of just expanding your collection and add not only cookers but also stories, what were the experiences, what in addition happened? Or, I mean, the quality of what you do is wider than just collecting stories.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say something about this?
Sure.
Side effects or so.
Yes. Well, I think the most critical choice I made was when I decided to retire. I said, well, I got to do more than just visit people, post their stuff, move on.
Yeah.
Because once you start making those connections, you talk to someone and they don't realize, hey, here's someone who's already solved the problem you have with your cooker, what have you. And just the larger issues, of, as my presentation was about, and as Deepak affirmed for me, which was really great to hear, is we the networking stage is just in the beginnings, and we need to grow that. And so one decision I made was to not just do the video series, but to have a live forum with people that can they can participate just like a mini conference with one person with a very unique story, a powerful story. And as you know, for instance, Martin Olthoff, and this is the sidebar or side benefit. When I asked him if he'd talk about his solar cooking experience with the refugee camps, he said, "Well, I'd really like to talk. I would talk about that. Love to, but also talk about the Vajra Academy, and also in the kind of dire straits it's in now because of a fluke with how things worked out." And so being able to interview him and say, well, you, I know a few Rotarians, Rotary Club people, that would love to sink into this problem, which is the school is a it's a change maker school, kind of almost certified to instruct kids. Here's all the environmental issues out there, and here's how to solve them. Here's how to do problem solving. And in the course of that being a success after several years, they set up a, what was going to be an eco-tourist hotel, which was going to be based on the same idea, all solar, all you know, biogas, the whole, totally green. And unfortunately, an earthquake struck just before it was finished, and the finances were tied together. And so he was worried they had to sell. They had to sell it, and they wanted a seller that would be able to continue the school, probably right off the hotel. But who knows what would happen. But we were able. I was able to connect them with Roger Haynes, who's a Rotarian, and SRAG Group. It's an Environmental Sustainability Action Resource Group for Rotary Group, or Rotary Action Group. And they networked and they found, well, they have, it's in Nepal, and there actually was a Rotarian in Nepal that was willing to start to work with him. Unresolved at this point, I have not heard what direction it's taken, if it's been sold and the school is now a hotel or something. That was his worry, was that it would stop being an education center. But just being able to make those connections and realizing my limitations, being able to say, well, I've made the connections, you know, go with, you know, my blessings. We hope that, that someone above will help, and all these networks start to really rally for you. I can only hope to do that much and then find the next bunch that maybe we can connect. And working with, as you'll see today, with Riyad Bahur at the Sacramento City College and Mary and Jennifer with the Solar Education Project, they're working on a maker challenge where we're going to try to tap into all the maker spaces and makers out there, the tinkers. That was what Deepak was talking about. All these guys that tinker and then the next conference they're still tinkering. Well, let's find someone who tinkers and comes up with the next Simplicity, let's say, or the next Sun Oven Villager, or the next Scheffler. And to be able to have, and they have a makerspace at the Sacramento City College, so they're very well versed in how makerspaces respond and individual makers respond. And then last one was Stefan Karnebeck had proposed on the World Network, let's have an online class. And everyone's saying, oh, that's crazy. We should have had that already, you know. But okay, now that someone said, let's do it, well, let's do it.
It's never too late.
Yes. So we've had three Zoom sessions where we've kind of parsed out how we're going to do them.
We are now meeting here in A Coruña, and we have changed the concept of the organization and how the day looks like because we... start with our presentations in the late afternoon, and the whole day is available so for everybody to meet or not. So how do you perceive, now 2 days are over, how do you perceive this conference?
Sure. Well, I've really enjoyed it, enjoyed all the sessions. And unlike the first one where I was absorbing, this one about every other, every third presentation, someone has a question and someone answers, and it's incomplete. Sometimes it's pretty complete. It's good. I mean, and the exchange is wonderful. But it's one thing where I know who knows a better answer, but I can't speak up because the name isn't in my head. It's in my spreadsheet. So I'm like in that interim stage now where the next conference, I'm going to bring my laptop and have that ready because I can look it up while they're talking and have an informed response. Yeah. But I like the mix of technical and just the social enterprise kind of aspect. How do we actually promote it? How do we, you know, I'm so glad I was able to share what I've learned from so many people.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd like one conference could just be, just watch all my videos.
Yeah, of course.
But to be able to have that mix so people know there are other people that are experiencing the same issues and maybe have solutions.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I love your cooker. That's actually what I need over where I'm trying to promote it and so forth. I love that. In every conference, you know, there's glitches. There's changes that we make that we try to make it better. And,
and I
feel it's as rich as it was in 2020 or in the hybrid one that we did as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping I can contribute what small things I can to make it even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in general, concerning the atmosphere here, I don't know if you have experience with conferences about totally other topics, so that you know how normal conferences look and how this looks.
I do.
So maybe what is different here?
Sure. Well, with my job, I was a member of the International Association of Crime Analysts, and interestingly, they all studied crime patterns and, you know, suspect profiles, and that was not me because I was doing more community stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they too were open-minded enough to say, well, we want to hear about community policing and doing stuff that reduces recidivism of offenders and so forth. And I was able to show how I mapped crime patterns to show how we could recruit members of the community to actually solve the problems that were really, they weren't really police problems. Or technically they were because it was a crime, but we're not the best solution, and mm-hmm. as we know. And
mm-hmm.
but and they tended to be pretty free form, which I really appreciated, and I like this. I've been to the International Association of Chiefs of Police conference where they get more technical, they get more into the equipment, and that can be overwhelming. And it's such a huge, I mean, that's such a huge field that they parse it out into technical and, you know, a community policing track, and because they have 50 sessions each day, you have to pick and choose like the four or five that you mm-hmm. want. And I love that what we've done this year is to say you get to see everything. And as you pointed out, being able to have the time ahead to meet people before you even get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you've actually talked to them out in the sun or under the clouds by the cookers and then see them present. And know and have a little bit more background, so when they're talking, you maybe have a little more understanding. Because there is the ones I've been to have been mostly in the United States, so the language barrier is not frequent. The international ones, we'd have international groups, but and they tend to have a better proficiency, perhaps, or they've gotten advanced degrees. But in this case, it's wonderful because we all have to overcome our own barriers, you know, and I'll have to say that I think I've said this before. In 2020, so many speakers started saying, well, I'm apologizing for my English. And I just felt like saying, no, us monolingualists in the United States should apologize to you because you're the one that has to bend over backwards so we can understand what you're doing. And the spirit of that, you know, everyone's ready to, don't worry about that. Just go ahead and say what you need to say. It's wonderful.
Mm.
So I'm just thrilled that it's going on and that we're back into being able to do it partly in person. I like the hybrid format, the connection to India.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. I mean, I've always been impressed with what people are doing in India.
Mm-hmm.
The first Zoom calls that I started to do for my series were from people doing unique things in India. So,
Yeah. And as we learned yesterday, Deepak and Celestino decided the next conference, the next Consul Food in 2 years will be there.
Okay, great.
You didn't hear it? Yes, in India.
Okay, yeah.
At Kartikeya's place.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I know others were talking about there's enough going on that maybe it could be done every year. And yeah, practically speaking, not everyone can. I can't fly out every year.
No.
I mean, I am.
You should not.
No. I am making a special trip to Le Passage when it opens up.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to. That's that seems to be like the future. One of the many futures of solar cooking is to get more institutional type solar cooking going on, economic use. So
it's so that it gets more normal and we are all used to it. Huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to add?
You know, I'm just so grateful to have come to Faro in 2020. I absorbed so much, met you, was able to see, you know, this is something I could do, and being able to branch out, and it's helped me solidify my plans. The potentiality for a museum back then was just in the dream stage.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I've written a prospectus, basically saying, well, if we're going to raise funds and get serious about it, get a board of directors, establish some kind of company and so forth, that's already in the works. I have kind of an advisory committee where it's all informal, but I'm kind of committed by the end of the year. I have to decide, am I going to go full tilt and look in the Southwest and find a space? And part of me is already doing it because of the connections I've made who've said, well, I heard about your museum. Here's a good place for it.
Yeah.
So that's what this is wonderful for, because now every piece of the museum will have much more support in terms of the documentation for cookers, for the stories. It just feels inevitable that come December, I'm going to be saying, okay, got to start to form the nonprofit organization or the social enterprise, whatever it ends up being. That's it. I mean, it's basically everything is still moving forward, and I'll trying to expand what I can now that I have more time being retired. That's about it.
I'm very sure that we will see this museum physically.
I hope so.
Okay. I wish you luck for this. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.